Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another morning here, or it's morning for us here at Breakthrough Academy. We're excited that you could all be here. We've already got two commenters, Judith Bourne, Pastor Christine. Welcome. We love that you comment. We love to know who we're speaking to. If you're new here, please put a comment in. Say hi. We love to acknowledge and just have that communication going. So we're excited to continue the next session.
Yeah.
Next session in our current topic, Mirror, Mirror. This is such an awesome topic that I just love where we're going with this and the stuff that's happening. Oh, and I'm Josh Dobie, and I'm here with Pastor Peter.
And sometimes we have Jay, my son, with us, but we're praying for him. He's been battling sickness, so he's not able to be with us, but he's with us in spirit.
Yes. Maybe we'll see a comment from him.
Yeah, but we're praying for him, believing him to be whole.
Yeah.
And because that's one of the things we're learning, Mirror, Mirror. We learn about what God's given to us, who we are, what we've done. That's the title of this this series that we're doing called Mirror, Mirror. It's taken from the book of James, where it speaks about the fact that when we look into the Word of God, James used the example, it's like looking into a mirror.
Yeah.
And so we reflect, it sees what we are, and it says, well, the crazy thing is to look into that mirror and then turn around and not live according to what we see.
Yeah.
And the mirror shows us who we are. The Word of God shows us who we are. The mirror shows us what life's really like. And then we turn to this world and we act that out and we minister to that. So we're going to look at a particular aspect today. Today's thought came from the book of Judges. So why don't we...
That's exciting. And I love that with just generally with that topic of mirror, mirror, that this is what God thinks of you. This is how God sees you. So when you're down in the trenches, or you see yourself a particular way, that's actually wrong. it feels like it feels right to you, or I did do this, I did do that. But no, God, he's made the way, and what he says, that's how he sees you.
That's true. It's like often what God says flies in the face of a sense of what we're feeling or what we're going through.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, this feels like reality.
Yeah.
This feels like exactly what it is. I we're going to Judges 3.
Morning, Joe. Glad you could be here.
Good morning, Joe. And
write a comment, you'll get a shout out.
Yeah. And this is a scripture I just referred to recently. In a little thing I put on, a little Facebook thing I did. It's when the children of Israel were going into the promised land and they defeated Jericho, praise God for that. They defeated Ai and they had some issues there, but they were able to go overcome, and eventually they defeated them so soundly that the next city in line, effectively, or one of the close cities, Gibeon, said, "We're done for. We're toast. This is the supernatural hand of God is on this people.
Yeah,
they are. We're not fighting a natural fight.
Yeah,
they heard about the
Red something
sea.
Going on with this.
Yeah,
people.
They heard the Jordan River's held up for these people to cross over.
Yeah.
They hit Jericho. They marched around. The walls fell down. They're like,
they have a bit of a reputation.
Yeah, they've got the power of God on them. And so the Gibeonites come up with this plan. We will get them to enter into a covenant of peace with us, and therefore they'll be bound to not destroy us, but let us live. And so they did this crazy plan where they sent some ambassadors to them and acted as if they'd been... acted as if they've come from a long way away, and in fact, they'd only come a short distance. A
couple of days.
Yeah, and they were in the
firing line.
They said, "Look at our old donkeys, look at our old, our saddlebags are just old and dry and hard. And look at the food, it's, look at, everything's so old, we've come a long way." And so, foolishly, the Israelites just listened to them. Mm. And so, if you look at verse 14, verse 13, "These wineskins were filled with brand new were filled brand new, but look how they've ripped. Our clothes and sandals are worn out because it's been such a very long journey. And this next verse just really struck me. It says, the men, the children of Israel, this including Joshua, the leadership, they examined some of their provisions, but they failed to ask the Lord's advice. They were willing to look. They made examination of the evidence that was before them.
Yeah.
But they just forgot to ask God. And then it says, so they made a peace treaty with them, or a covenant with them, agreed them to let them live. And the leaders of the community sealed it with an oath. And then 3 days after they made the treaty with them, the Israelites found that they were from the local area.
What have you done?
And the people were mad with them because they made this mistake. But I just thought that was really interesting. It says they examined the provisions, but they didn't bother to ask God.
Yeah.
And there's areas of expertise that we're in. And we know, you know, I know when I'm a failure. I know when I can't do this.
I know what I've done.
I know I'm sick. Look, do you want any more evidence? Here's the symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take my temperature for you. Look at the numbers. You know, here's the test results. Here's the, you know, I can prove things to you. I can show you. Here's my bank balance. Here's the struggles I'm having. Here's how I'm feeling. The feelings are very real. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling flat. I'm feeling a failure. Here's the words I said that hurt that person. Here's the broken relationship. Here's the, you know, here's the struggles. Here's my termination papers. Here's the car that's got the flat tire. You know, it's all here. You know,
there'll always be something. You
it's
know?
Here. I can see it. I can measure it. I'm an expert in this area.
Yeah.
And yet God says, now look in the mirror.
What do you see?
What does God do? No. I'm an expert in this area. God says, well, what do you see?
Yeah.
And that's really what this. And good morning to Brooke. My daughter Brooke and also Sheba, the cat.
Yes, meow meow.
Sheba sounds like a lion. Sheba sounds like a mighty name. And this is what Mirror Mirror is all about. It's like, okay, we've got to look, because it's not like an alternative. I choose which one do I like.
Yeah.
This one, a mirror is not a portrait. Do you understand? I think we shared this last time. A mirror is not a portrait. This is not what God would imagine about you. A mirror is a reflection.
Yes.
Okay. A mirror is showing you who you are and what God has given you. It's a reflection of you, but you've got to believe that reflection. You've got to be meek to accept that reflection. We've talked about these things in the past, so I won't go into them again. You've got to be meek to accept it and bow your knee to it and approach it with an attitude of humility.
Yeah.
So it says in the book of James, I don't know whether you can remember the two key things to do. It says to approach it with meekness, which is a heart attitude of acceptance, that you are looking at this to not with a, I'll see what God says and then I'll work out what I like, you know, whether I think it's right or not. No, you come with an attitude of, okay, God, what are you saying about me? I'm here to learn, I'm here to receive, and I'm here to act upon it. You know, it's important that it talks about meekness and then acting on it.
Yeah.
And the second thing, it says it intently looking in, it with a focus and a purpose. We need to go to the Word of God with great intention, all right? You can't just sort of, that's why some people come to church and they're not changed. It's because they didn't come with an intensity.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. One of the things that is just flowing out of our church is hunger.
Yes.
We are hungry. People, I come to preach to hungry people. People are like, you better give me the Word of God, Pastor. You better give me a good word.
Yeah.
You better give me something that's going to feed my spirit and give me ability to get the victories I need, because I'm here to get this. Show me the mirror. Don't show me a little postcard or a little sketch of what you think. Show me the mirror.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to know who I am. Don't tell me your opinions. Show me the mirror. Get me a big fat mirror up there on the stage and shine it at me, and I'm going to look at it, and you're going to tell me who I am. I'm going to say, that's who I am in Jesus. I can do that.
Yes.
All right. So that's mirror, mirror. We're intently looking. We're getting that, and we're finding out who we are. And so, you know, sometimes the things that we find in the mirror are surprising to us. They're surprising to our flesh. They can also be surprising to our, you know, our church cultural traditional mindset. You know, sometimes we think this is what God says, that's not in the mirror. Sounds like something God would say. You know, it sort of works, you know, sort of, you know. We can be sort of, one of the greatest things that the Pharisees made such an error in, and Jesus pointed them out in Matthew Well, I'm going to look there because I was going to.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do because you're hungry. You know, if these people are hungry. When it comes to prayer, okay, so sometimes people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the people's prayer. Mm-hmm. If you want to see the Lord's Prayer, you go to John 17. Boom. People might get that. Okay, this is the people's prayer given to us, the church's prayer, mm-hmm. the Christian's prayer, the disciples' prayer. So it says, verse 9, so pray in this way. Mm-hmm. So he gives us the prayer.
Yep.
But before that, he's given us some other things about prayer. All right, the teaching. You can see the Lord's Prayer, but it's up verse 5, and then what we call the Lord's Prayer starts in verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of talks about some stuff here. It talks about, don't be like the hypocrites. There's a right and wrong way to pray. Prayer isn't as natural as we think it is.
Mm.
Okay? Prayer isn't just I'll just open my mouth and whatever comes out, it's good prayer. You know, we sort of say, prayer is just talking to God. Okay? You can't get prayer wrong. Yes and no.
There are prayers that will catch his attention.
Yeah. I know what we're saying when we say that. You can't get prayer wrong. It's just talking to God. You know, that's true. It's communicating with God. Open up your heart. You don't have to use fancy words. There's some people grow up in church traditions, think the priest can pray because they know the fancy words. I'm just the person who, how can I pray? No. You can pray. Just tell God how you're feeling. Open up. There is a room for prayer. But prayer is like the word sport. It covers a multitude of prayers. There's types of prayer. Now, if you are talking about the prayer where you are just opening up, connecting with God, letting opening up your heart, then you don't need fancy words, and you just everything you're saying becomes prayer that God can respond to, especially if it's done with sincerity and all the rest. That's the key there, isn't it?
When it's sincerity. Done with a closeness.
Yeah, it's not. You're not trying to put one over
God. You're saying things because you know that he's listening.
Yeah, you're just trying to open up and share them with God, and that's a kind of prayer. When Jesus was facing the cross, he got down before the Father, not my will but yours be done, Lord.
Yeah.
It was in a prayer of just opening up and saying how he felt and what he was going through.
That's
and that's
good.
A genuine prayer.
That's good.
But if you want a prayer, the type of prayer that gets God. You're asking for something. It's a prayer of petition. You're calling on God for something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not any old words will do, because that's just whatever you say will be fine. No, it might not be.
I really like this.
Yeah, and God. And so you look here, and it says, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, because they don't do it their way. They love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on the street corner, so that people can see them. Truly, so do they have their reward. In other words. That your attitude and how you go about prayer, not the words, but actually attitude, that's affecting. He said that these people, if they're praying, they're not getting anything from heaven.
Welcome. Sandy's just walked in. You've just interrupted.
Yeah.
No, welcome. No. We are so glad to have you, Sandy.
You're welcome to come late because that makes us happy too.
If you're late, I'm just making a joke, but we love that Sandy's here. You're always welcome to be here live. The building is open.
Yeah.
I put seats out for you guys.
Yeah, Josh actually put extra seats out today. So he was like, hey, if you're coming. So the worst thing to do is think, I'm a bit late. I'll sit in the car park.
I'll have to go get another seat.
Josh, you come in here. All right. So, and then it says, whenever you pray. Okay, don't do it like them. Whenever you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father sees in secret, reward you. In other words, it's not about what people think. They were praying only to be noticed.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it says this next one. When you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles, because they think that by their many words they will be heard.
Mm.
But do not be like them. And this is one of the things with prayer. That's why it's not any words will do, because you can be thinking wrong.
Mm.
Let's see what some of the other translation says. New American, they suppose, who think, don't recite, who think prayers, they think their prayers. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs, advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God.
Craft of prayer.
And even the Passion Bible, for they expect God to hear.
Hmm.
And what it's talking about there is they have a certain expectation. Now, this is not faith expectation. This is a presumption. They are presuming that if they do it a certain way, God will respond.
Yeah.
And God's like, oh, I don't.
Like it activates.
Yeah. And there's some prayer, different religions and different, false gods and things where they have prayer wheels. And they just have people turning these prayer wheels with a prayer going, and this prayer, imagine if you could hold up a prayer card, and this has got my prayer in it, say, God, here's it. Oh, and so on and so on, worked out, well, if I could hold up two prayer cards, imagine how, wouldn't that get God's attention?
Get all the prayer wheels going.
And then it's like, oh, hang on a second, what if I could hold up three cards and four cards, and it's like, oh, I'm struggling. And then they thought this idea, well, put on a wheel, and so it'll spin around and God will get to see. And then if I spin it really fast, because he's really good at reading, he's really quick at reading, I can do like 100 prayers a minute,
It's very interesting, some of the ideas that people
had. It's aren't they crazy? Aren't they crazy, those people from those other religions? Whereas, some people think, I'm in problem, I better get this on the prayer team and I better get done at and the prayer. Because the more people are praying, the more effective it'll be.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a sec, that's what he said,
If more people are doing it, we'll really convince God.
Yeah, so I'll get it on my prayer wheel. If you think that, okay, it's because the numbers that God's going to be impressed, God's not impressed whether one person's praying in unbelief or 100 people praying in unbelief. The number of people praying in unbelief doesn't matter. Now, I know people say, well, I'm sharing with people praying in belief. I get that. But sometimes people think it's the numbers. You hear it in the way they speak. The more people, it'll carry more weight.
Yeah.
God says, I just need one person. Now, I don't mind you getting lots of people joining you in prayer because it's coming into agreement and you are...
If that's sincere, then great.
And that's fine. But you can't presume. This is the thing. You can't presume that just because I think something's good, it is good.
Mm.
All right? And you can't presume that what you know about you and what God says about you is right. You've got to go to the mirror. Mm. You've got to look in the mirror and you say, oh, that's
so good. Yeah.
That's different to what I expected.
That's not how I feel.
That's not what I thought prayer was like.
Yeah.
That's not how I thought prayer worked.
Yeah.
God's like, look in the mirror. And it shows you not just about yourself, but about how God designs you to work and about the whole kingdom of life.
Yeah.
So it's not just, a mirror just shows me, but the mirror effectively shows me the world that God has put me in, the kingdom. It shows me the whole plan that he has for me. Joshua was good at looking at this world, but he didn't look in the mirror. He didn't say, well, God, what do you say about this situation?
Yeah.
God, what do you say about this? What's your view of this? And God says this. And then he's like, oh, that's different. That is very different to what I'm seeing in the natural. He would have seen that. God says that, don't believe them.
Mm.
That's not true. And God says, don't believe those symptoms, don't believe those circumstances. That's not true. This is what I'm saying about it. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
They're here and they're saying this.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I've got a framed photo in both my office here at the church and my office at home of me standing looking out on a field.
Hmm.
All right, people looking at that. It's not a very fancy field. It doesn't look very exciting, but it's actually the field that God promised to Dr. Jerry Saville many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to give you this land and you're going to pay the price that you want for it.
That's good.
All right. And it was opposite his sort of where the offices were, and he's looking but it didn't come to him straight away. People bought it and then other people bought it. And Brother Jerry remembers he got the newspaper and it said they had sold the land to this, corporate or this people. And he's like, God, they've sold my land. And God's, no, it's your land. And he goes, God, can't you read, It's in black and white. It's here in a newspaper. It's an accurate article. And God's like, well, who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to believe what I've said about you? Are you going to believe? And so he's like, I'm going to believe what you said.
That's good.
And, and he's had, there's multiple examples of that where, and the end result was, eventually God gave it to him. And I won't go into the story, but it was supernatural. And they were able to pay what they determined to pay, which was the people he made the offer to said, you're crazy. They weren't even going to pass the offer on because they said, that is just like, that's not. And he said, you promised that if I would give the offer. And he gave the offer based on what he'd seen in the mirror.
Yeah.
According to what God had shown, that's what really was to good. Do and happen. This was, so it's not easy. He just wasn't making it up. He was bringing it according to what God said to him about
it. Yeah.
And he actually said, no, I want, and it's going to, I'm going to pay this amount, and you're going to clear all the debt of it, because there was the people had gone in bankruptcy who owned that land and had sold a number of times, and eventually they came to him, you know, you're the only people in that area that haven't gone bankrupt, you know, what can we do? And he said, well, listen, I'm going to offer this much, and you got to clear all the debt, and I want the mineral rights, you know, and they're like, what are you doing?
And
it was just crazy. And they actually went away. They said, you know, they came back and they said, we believe in miracles. You know, like, this is not Christian. So it was like, this shouldn't happen, but they're signing it over to you for this amount. We're clearing all the debt. And you got the mineral rights. And they didn't. And Brother Jerry, actually at the time, he had no proof why he needed the mineral rights. He just knew that's what God had put on his heart to do. He said, I knew to get the mineral rights. But there was nothing. There was no evidence to show that. And then later, years down the track, they find deep down there's gas, and they can use the and they can dig. And so right near where I'm standing on that photograph, if you know, if you could pan the camera, you could see behind me are gas pumps.
Mm.
on, you know, that they take a little part of the land and they put them there, and then you get royalties from that because of what they're doing. You know, it's the land sitting there, and then they've been able to use the land, and God's blessed them, and it's a wonderful ongoing story. But I've got a photo of me standing there looking at it, because that land, it represents the mirror-mirror principle.
Yeah.
You see what God says, what man says. You see what God says, you see what man says, and that's part of what we're doing. That's what we're doing here today. We are saying, what does God say about us, and what does, you know, what's our view? So, that was a bit of a long run-up to get to Judges chapter 3. And this might... And I had this in my heart, you know, for you, Josh, and for Jay. You know, Jay either watching live now, or he'll be, you know, because he hasn't been well, he was in bed. But he... I'm going to, you know, instruct him to pick up. This is for these guys. I really felt, hey, this is my teaching for them. And everybody else can join in, okay? So you can say I'll be a Joshua and a Jordan today. So because it's a sort of funny verse, Judges chapter 3 verse 1. So we've got the story of Joshua leading the people of Israel into the promised land, the land that has been promised. It's the mirror land.
Mm.
It's called, I love it. We call it the promised land, which effectively means when they looked into what God said, this is your land.
Yeah.
So it's the land that God said is theirs.
Yeah.
But no one else did. there's no map that said, you know, in the natural world.
Especially the ones that owned it.
Yeah, the people that owned it and lived there, they said, this is not your land, this is our land. And I was like, okay, you can have it. No, they fight and they resist. And they're like, no, this is not your land. But God said he didn't call it the name of the land. You know, when you think about it, it's called the promised land. It is defined by what God had said about it. And so they're going into the promised land, and then they divide it up according to God's instruction. They sent people out to check all the dimensions and then come back, and they made maps, and they said, you can have this portion, and we'll have this portion. They let God direct them as to who was going to get what. And then they would fight the enemies and clear them out. But they didn't clear everybody out. It wasn't a case of, everybody just threw up their hands and walked away.
Yeah.
There was giants in the land. And that's what we spoke about last week, is, you know, they came and they said, 10 spies came back and said, we can't do it. And 2 spies said, we can. 2 said, I looked in the mirror, and 10 said, we looked in reality. 10 said, we looked in reality. 2 said, yeah, we see reality. The mirror means that you actually, you look in the mirror and then you look at reality, but you look in reality based on now what you've seen in God's word, all right?
Yeah.
You don't live in the mirror.
No.
Okay, you don't live in the mirror. You live as having... this is what the point that James is making. Then you face this world, and it's, do you remember what was in the mirror? All right, you've got to turn to this world, and people just forget everything they've heard.
That'll be a problem.
It's like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? You know, as soon as they got no idea, you know, clueless how it all works, And I'm going to share something here. Some people think that means clueless means you run away. But they were at one point they were clueless and they ran into the enemy. All right. Just right after in Book of Numbers. So we're going to get the judges.
We'll get there.
But look in Book of Numbers. When Numbers 14. So we're hungry. Mm. We're going to take our time to look at this. I'm going to give another example of when they didn't look in the mirror, and then they just went and did it there. They presumed they did it their own way. Mm. We just had this amazing example where 10 spies have come back and said, "We can't do it." 2 spies, "We certainly can," and they listened to the 10,
mm.
and not just because of the numbers, but because it went with what they wanted.
Yeah, you know,
it fitted their fear. Yeah. It fitted their unbelief.
That was comfortable. So
they locked in with the 10. They could have easily locked in with the 2, but they didn't. They locked in with the 10. And so they said, yeah, these people are speaking what we've all... I suspected this. This is way worse than we thought. You know, what's he done? What's his Moses guy done bringing us out here? We're all going to die. You know, we're actually going to die. We're going
to
be...
Back to Egypt.
I suspected this.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I knew that. You know, I knew that. You know, we're the wise old. We knew this was. We knew what was going to happen. You know. Yeah. You know, and everyone's got people in the world around them who are like that. I knew this would happen.
Yeah. Well,
good for you, Mr. 10 Spy Greer. You know. Good for you. You know. Yes, I knew this would come to this. Well, it's because you're looking at the natural world. I'm looking into the mirror. I'm looking at what God has said. And that takes a standing against the flow. So the two of them, Joshua and Caleb, stood against the flow, but the flow was like going all the other way. God said, that's it. It's over. God says it because of your own words. Because of what they prophesied over, they said, "I'm going to put you. I'm going to give you 40 years in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. They're the only ones that are going to get through." And the Lord said, "So that's it. This is what's going to happen." I'm just looking for this where I'm going to read from. And verse 39 of 14. So God, you know, He's told them all this. And when Moses told these things to all the people, they were really upset. Okay. There's a difference between being really upset and repenting.
Mm.
Some people are really upset with the consequences of their choices.
Yeah.
They just don't like what's happening. But I'm really upset, you know. I'm really sad. Yeah, you can be sad but not repent. Okay, it just means you don't like what you're experiencing.
Put it on the show.
Yeah, there's... Well, you know, you've... You do something, you get the consequences. Oh, I hate the consequences. I hate what my life has become. I hate who I've become. I hate what my family's become. I hate what circumstances, you know. I hate my job. Yeah. But you know, you badmouth your boss and you don't turn up and do the, and then you got a bad job. So, I hate my job. Well, yeah, you're sad about the consequences, but it's are you repentant about what got you there? You know what I mean? And no, that's sort of a different thing. Don't touch that, God. You know, I'm just sad. Anyway, so they were sad. They were sad when He told them, "You're not going in."
Yeah.
Well, you're going to die in the wilderness. We're going to wander around here for 40 years. That's pretty sad.
That's tragic.
I'm sad. But what has God said? You're not going in. You're not going in. Okay. verse 40. So, what has the mirror said about them? All right, this is a negative sort of mirror, but because of it says you are not ready to go in, you're not going. Your unbelief has caused you to go. You're full of unbelief.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You can't. Because how were they to defeat the enemy? Because, you know, it's not because of, how can I say this? Let's say Josh. Imagine Josh is a good, strapping, young, healthy male. There we go. Don't have to imagine. There he is. Is all right. All right, and I say,
I didn't say it, but yeah.
Okay, Josh, I'm set you up in a boxing match. All right. Oh, how cool is that, Josh? Okay, I'm going to judge. And so he sends his spies in to see who the opponent is, right? And it comes back. It's a four-year-old kid who's, you know, this high. Josh is like,
I don't need a train for this.
Yeah. And then if Josh goes, oh, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I can't do this. And then it's like, well, no, you're okay. Well, you can't do the fight. And then you come back to me and say, well, you know what? Next day, I do want to fight now. I say, well, that makes sense. You know, you were always able to do it, but
yeah,
now you can't. All right. This is not that situation. Joshua didn't say to the people, hey, we actually are bigger and stronger than them. We're better warriors.
Yeah.
We've got better weapons. We've got better strategies. We are powerful people. No one can stop us. We are a people of war. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I've looked at them and I've looked at us. We're better. We're stronger. We're more mighty.
Yeah.
No, it's the actual opposite. We're a four-year-old, nothing, wimpy kid. And we've come in against, you know, an 8-foot giant.
It wasn't a comparison.
No, we're a mess. All right. But what Joshua said is, hey, it's not our strength that gets us to battle. We're not winning because we're better. That's why they came back and they said, let's see how we match up against this team. Let's see how we match up. And we don't match up well. Ah! They were never sent to spy in to find out how they matched up.
Yeah.
That's not why they were sent in, but that's what they thought they were going to get. They thought, well, let's see how we match up.
Yeah.
We don't match up. Ah, we're going to die. Moses, I didn't send you to see how you're going to match up. I sent you in to see what it's going to be like, where you're going to live in victory.
Yeah, that's good.
I want you to go in there and say, oh, I'm going to be.
That's good.
Oh, there's some people. Oh, that's not what you're looking at. You're not looking to see how big that. You know, God will take care of that.
Yeah.
God's got, you know.
Wrong focus.
Okay, and it's like, okay, now you're a little wimpy. Oh, I'm going to up against this big giant. And God's like, oh, it's actually, you do know the rules of the engagement, don't you? It's tag team fighting. And everyone knows what tag team fighting is. You know, they do a tag team wrestling. There's a team of two fighting against the others. And what happens is if you're in the middle of the ring and you're in trouble, you just reach over. I've never actually seen it live or anything like that. Josh, have you ever seen tag team? I'm guessing WWF, WWF, whatever, you know, all the real wrestling. Sorry, I don't know why I had to do that when I said real wrestling for that. Anyway, they have these big bouts, and the two of them would be against another, and one would be getting beaten up, and you know, they'd have chairs broken over their head, and all sorts of stuff.
It'd make it very dramatic.
And he reaches over. What's he doing? And he reaches over, and he's just got to tap. You know, that's it. Yay! And what that happens is that moment you are spinning it over.
It happens, but he's out of the fight at that moment.
Yeah, he's out of the fight, and the other guy's in.
Yeah.
All right. So God's like, I'm your tag team.
Mm.
All right,
yeah.
This is a tag team fight.
That's good.
So you've gone into the fight and you've looked to see how big they are. And it's like, that's not why you're looking. It's a tag team.
Yeah.
All right. Don't worry about the fighter, because all you do is you tag me. And I deal with the fighter. And you just got to look at the spoils. You've got to say, look, I want you to go look at the trophy. I want you to look at the prize money.
Yeah.
I want you to go and see all the prize money. I want to say, how am I going to spend that prize money? How am I going to do it? And you went and looked at the fighter. You looked at the fighter,
and you've only looked at the fighter.
We can't beat him. Okay, you know, guys, like, you never meant to beat him. It's a tag team. I do the fighting.
Yeah, that's good.
You just do the work. You know, you get in the ring, but I punch him. Do you know what I mean? So they're like, they forgot about the tag team. They're not thinking tag team. They're thinking we can do this. You know. So God comes and says, this is no good. I can't send you in because unless you tag team, you're not going to win anything.
Yeah, that's good. That's true.
If you're not going to view this as a tag team fight, you're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't send you in.
Because if they had gone in, they would not have done that.
Josh, you bring up a very interesting point. Because look what they did in verse 40. And early in the morning, they went up. This is when he's been told, you can't go in. This is over. They went up to the crest of the hill country saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place the Lord commanded, for we have sinned. We're so sorry. We did the wrong. We will go in now. We will fight. We'll do this. We can do this. We've thought about it. You know, we're actually not that bad. We can do this.
I don't know what I was going on about before.
Yeah, we can do this. We can do this. We will do this. We can. We're doing this. I'm not doing this 40 years stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, the mirror tells you also the things that you cannot win. You say, oh, no, the Bible only tells me all about my victories. No, it tells you how useless you are. You've got to know how useless you are. You've got to know that you're a sinner. You've got to know that you're not coming here with God, I'm actually not too bad a fighter. You know, tag me every now and again. God's like, keep out of the ring.
Well, the mirror says the battle is the Lord's. And if you fight the Lord's battle, it's not going to go very well.
Exactly. Look, I think we can do this. You know, you think tag teams, look, we're going to do equal fighting. Like, you're just going to ruin the fight.
Yeah.
If you jump tag me,
you're going to lose the title.
If you tag God out, because you think, oh, he's pretty weak, I think I've got this. God, get out! Oh, no! God's like... Oh.
And if you do tag him out,
yeah,
that's what happens.
And he's got to sit back and he's got to let you... And so the mirror tells you how weak you are. It tells you also how strong you are in Christ.
Mm.
Okay? But the mirror's got to tell you how useless you are in this battle. It's got to tell you how... I can't do this.
Yeah.
You've got to see what you look like to God before Christ so that you don't try and bring that over and say, yeah, I'm pretty...
That's good.
I'm actually pretty amazing. And no wonder God went to the cross for me. He needed me.
That's not dangerous.
Okay. So I'm saying this is what we see in the mirror.
Yeah.
We also see where we are no good. And we see here we are in Christ. We see what he's done in transformation. We see that we've been born of God. It's that part that God is working. And it's the whole, you know, so we've got to see that. So they were told, don't go. It's not going to work for you.
Mm.
So they said, oh no, we can do this. We can do this. Here we are. And we will go up to the place that the Lord commanded, for we have sinned. And so it can sound like repentance.
Sounds good.
But their heart has not changed.
Yeah.
They're not there's no tag team in it. They say, we can do this. But Moses, why are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord? It will not succeed. Don't do this.
Yeah.
What in the world are you thinking? And they said, well, he said, do not go up, for the Lord is not among you. You are going up to do a tag team fight that God never expected you to fight.
Yeah.
And now you're heading off God. And he said, God's not going with you.
Mm.
He's going the opposite direction at the moment. He said, no, we're heading over. Because your whole mindset was, it's not like God didn't want them to win, but they couldn't win without God.
Yeah.
And now they're proving that they're still clueless.
Yeah.
So... He says, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you will fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you.
Mm.
But, no. Because we don't like the concept of this 40 years thing.
Yeah.
We don't like the idea of dying in the desert. See, and so I don't like the consequences. You know, I don't like being told that I'm a sinner. I don't, the world hates the fact that we talk about sin and being a sinner.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is we should be more clear. We're all sinners, but we've been saved and we've been redeemed. We've been changed because he loves us and he cares for us. And he doesn't hate us anymore because the wrath of God is being taken in Jesus. And we've got a ministry of reconciliation to say it's all been done. But it all starts with the understanding that there's sin and we can't do things by ourselves, and we're not good enough for heaven, and we'll never be good enough for heaven. In fact, our righteousness is like filthy rags. It just does not work. And so all these things is the mirror when we see who we are. And so, but they dared to go up the crest of the hill, though neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. They went. They said, that ark thing, well, it's not going with us. So doesn't matter. They were clueless.
Yeah.
They don't that doesn't matter. They didn't know how the battle worked.
Yeah.
That's like we're going in. Okay, we're heading in, and there's my caravan with me and all my team, and then there's the other caravan with my tag team partner and God and here, and we're driving off. Where's the other caravan? Oh, it's there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Where's my tag team partner? He's not going. Doesn't matter. You're driving off to the fight, and you see in the rearview mirror that that one's not moving. Doesn't matter. Okay, this shows why they were clueless.
Yeah.
And so the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country swooped down and attacked them as far as Hormah. Uh-oh. Chapter 15. It's just not going to work. So, yeah, I'll just go back to chapter 14, because it's right at the end. And I'll put it in the New American so that...
One more time.
Get down to the bottom, New American. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as... They messed them big time. Okay, so there's the mirror. There's the mirror that said... They didn't look in the mirror and they thought, we can do this and we can fight.
Yeah.
But they were clueless as to how it worked.
Mm.
All right? So... Sometimes you look at something and you should run from it because if God's not in that, you shouldn't be in that.
If you don't know the rules of engagement,
yeah.
You're in a tag team.
Yeah.
That's going to be catastrophic.
Don't try and don't fight something without God. you'll be high and dry because if you're just trying to do something in your own strength and you're going to try and make something work and you're going to try, people have got married in their own strength. As doesn't go very well often. Do you know what I mean? it didn't worry me that God really wasn't in this dating thing. God wasn't in my vows. You know, God, it doesn't matter. He'll be there eventually, won't he? It's got to be God-led. You got to look in the mirror. You got to find out what God says and then go with that. Mm. All right? So that I'm just saying it's tough. Okay, and you say, well, what? And people say, but what if? What if I've done stuff? You know, I've got Ishmaels. I've gone into, and I've got my butt whooped, and you know, I've done all this. Well, this is how repentance works. Not sorrow, not sadness that they're getting attacked and getting beaten.
Yeah.
But sorrow at see repentance. Sorrow is the fact that I've been defeated. Repentance is the fact that I didn't go with God.
Yeah.
All right, repentance is with the I did it myself, and I didn't look to you, my tag team partner, and I didn't say God, what's it say in James 1? I didn't come meekly and humbly and say yeah. God, how do you say? That's I looked good. In the mirror and I say, yeah, I can find some scriptures to back up what I'm doing. That's not meekness. I'm not saying go to the Bible and find something that confirms your flesh dumbness, because we can all do that. I'm saying go to the Bible meekly to say, God, what are you saying about me? What do you want me to do here? How do you want me to approach this?
Mm.
And go in there. That's what you repent of, is not looking to God and driving off with it with your tag team partner still saying. That's what, once you repent, and what you need to do is you need to bring God into whatever you're doing.
Mm.
And you do that through repentance and you get forgiveness and cleansing. And then God says, okay, let's work through this. Now we are tag teaming and now we're in.
That's good.
Okay, now you're doing this together, that's when God begins to work and turn things around and it makes favor. And I've seen situations which were disasters, God turn around and make them look so good that people thought that must have been God's plan all along. People have said, this is what God wanted. God wanted you to go through four marriages and end in divorce, you know, and get abused, because look how where God's brought you. It must have been God's plan. No, all it means is by the time you tag team and got hold of God, he made it so good.
Yeah.
And he looked so successful that people thought that must have been his plan all along. No, that's just how good God is.
Yeah.
He can turn things around. So I'm not saying that if you've got in a battle and you've messed up and you've left him back in the tag team and you've got yourself in an awful mess. Well, what your key is not to try and fix things or say, God, or not to cry and say, God, I'm so sorry. Look at the terrible mess I'm in. It's about the tag team, not the mess.
Yeah, that's good.
Get back and say, God, okay, I need to get back to you. What are you saying? And I need to repent of my heart attitude that says I could do it myself and I could go off and run and do and be and strong or run from a battle because I didn't think I could do it. You know, so they ran from a battle because they didn't look in the mirror, and they ran into a battle because they didn't look in the mirror. That's what I'm saying. It's not the running. It's what they did it, how they did it.
That's good.
All right. So that was a nice... That was good. God,
that was good.
I'm happy to say that was good because I wasn't thinking that. That was good thinking, God. Judges chapter 3. Now, these are the nations. So they've gone through this. They've gone into the promised land and they've fought, but they haven't done it wholeheartedly in the sense that you just think everything's going fine, but there's areas that they didn't get victory in, and there's battle people that they didn't overcome, Not because God didn't give them victory, but because they just didn't do it all. And one of the key things that they got into was that they would begin to merge and mesh with the people there rather than defeat them. The Bible says get rid of them. And, you know, it's from perspective of modern day looking and saying, oh, it's pretty harsh. Go in there and kill everybody. Oh, I feel really awkward about this, you know, because we're so removed from, you know, these sorts of things these days. War is done somewhere else. We don't have to experience these things. But also, we're living in New Testament truth. We're in the area of grace. And so it's very hard to sometimes see what they were having to do and deal with and then reconcile it with, you know, what we're doing. But it's interesting when God's talking about this. He says, you know, you merge with them, but the key thing was, and you left their idols and their places of worship, their high places and their idols. It wasn't just the people. It was the people and their idols were left. We'll make room for their, not just the people, we'll make room for their idols. They can leave their idols up. That's all right, because that's, well, if that's who they worship, that's fine.
Let those people in, but you don't know what those people are bringing with them.
Yeah, it's not so much just the people, it's, they were allowed to continue their idolatry with us. That's all right. You know, like, hey, you know, people say, oh, I've got my God, you've got your God. God's like, that doesn't work. Because which one's the real God? You know, that's first God saying, which one's the real one? And people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, Jesus is real to you and Buddha's real to them, or, you know, no, that's not how it works. One of them is the real God. Not real to me, but is the real God. So they allowed the Ashtoreth and the Baal to remain. And so what happened is that they not only allowed them to live, they began to worship with them.
Yeah.
And they began to allow that to infiltrate them.
Yeah.
So now you've got the situation in the book of Judges where Joshua is dead. And it says in chapter... I think it's... Let's go. The death of Joshua. When Joshua dismissed the people, people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua. So all his leaders and his...
Yep.
Who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he'd done. Then he died at the age of 110 and they buried him. Good on them. And they gathered there and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he'd done for Israel. So after Joshua's gone, group going, let's reevaluate all this and let's change it. And then it says, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers. And so this is the story of Judges, is people getting themselves into a mess, coming under, other nations would rise up and put them under their control, and the Israelites would cry out, and then God would send them a rescuer, a judge, someone who would bring, you know, the word of the Lord and the rulership of God.
Peace for 40 years.
And then it'd go back, and then it sort of cycles down, and it says, you know, and the Lord would be upset, and then he would raise up judges, and then they would do fine, and then when it came back, when that judge died, that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods. So it'd be like, oh, we have a moment of we're changing, and then but when we come back, but when they come back, that'd be even worse.
Yeah.
And then God would rescue them, and then they'd come back, that'd be even worse. And so it's a spiraling down of society. So society gets, even when they're in the good times, it's a pretty lousy place. When they have their good times, but then when they come down, it's a very lousy place. Some terrible things are happening.
They come up, but then they go right down.
Chapter 3 is sort of a bit of a summary there. It says, now the Lord, these are the nations.
I just need to move my car for a workman.
Oh, okay.
I will be back.
Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. So the children of Israel should have cleared these people out. but they're not. They're left with a groups of people, and it's called the Canaanites, or the Wars of Canaan. The Canaanites is sort of like a, it is a particular people, one of the people, but it often it uses the word Canaan or Canaanites to refer to all the people. It's sort of a bit of a blanket term. You know, there was, you know, if you look down, the lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and Sidonians in chapter 3 and the Hivites, you know, so that it does talk about Canaanites as a particular people, but sometimes it can use it as a representative of everybody, of all the enemy that they're. And so these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, those who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. I just, that phrase sort of just struck me, that God says, like, now there's a new generation here, and this generation must be learn how to fight. All right? This generation must be learn how to fight. Here, I've got Josh come back. So here's the new generation coming back.
What did I miss? Because this is for me, remember?
Yeah, this is, yeah, actually now this is the part I'm actually talking to you, so you probably should be here for this.
Oh, very good.
So the nations, Lord says, there's some left here because they didn't clear them out. And so who left them there? The people left them there, but God sort of speaks in the fact that, well, okay, I left them out because you didn't clear them out, so I left them there.
Mm.
And he said, to these people, the current generation haven't experienced the wars, the fighting. And it says, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly.
Mm.
Comes a fresh generation. They haven't gone through the wars of the previous generation.
Yep.
God's like, this generation needs to learn how to fight. You need to learn how to fight and clear these enemies out. Okay, we should have cleared them all out by now. The church should have dealt with this. Josh.
Yet here we are.
And yet here we are. All right, so you, Joshua, and Jay, the new generation coming through, and it sort of struck me, you guys need to learn how to fight. All right, you need to learn how to fight because there's still things and enemies here. And mirror says, when I look into the mirror, when you look in the mirror, you actually see yourself,
yep,
in a warfare mode.
Yeah.
You prepared for battle, fighting. It's a fighting mode. So then I look back to this world and I say, okay, how do I do? Oh, what does that look like? When we look into the word, it tells us about fighting. All right? It's about, you're a warrior. You're a fighter. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at how Paul talks about himself when he's writing to Timothy. He's, you know, he's a young disciple in the Lord.
Yep.
And he says, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called.
Mm.
Get hold of it. Fight the fight.
Yep.
Fight the fight. And 2 Timothy, right now he's right, come to the end of his time on the earth. Chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 6 is, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I love it. It's like, you know, got my ticket, the boat's, about to head off. I'm about to head off.
Adios.
I love looking at when we come to the end of our life, it's my time of my departure. I'm actually, I'm leaving here, but I'm going somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm departing here, but I'm going to somewhere.
Yes.
So my time of departure has come, and I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith.
Mm.
I'm a fighter. In 1 Corinthians 9:25. Do you not know that, read from verse 24, don't you know that those who run in a race all run? Everyone's running. Okay. All running. We're all running in this Christian life. But you got to run in a particular way.
Mm.
How do you got to run? Run so that you get the prize.
So you're running a particular way.
Yeah. Everybody's running, but not everyone's running in the correct way. Some people are running backwards and some people are running sideways. And we're all running. You got to run. You know, Paul said, I think 2 Timothy, you got to run, you know, in your lane. You got to run according to the rules, he said. If you're not running according to the rules, he says, you don't get no prize. 2 Timothy. All right. So you got to, Paul says, we run, and I run in a particular way.
Yes.
All right. And that's according to the rules. But it's also, he says, well, what, run in such a way that you may win. All right. You've got to do this life in a way that you're actually going to win.
Mm.
It's okay. It's, you're up against. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable, you know, they get it. You know, they didn't get gold coins back then. They'd get a wreath. You know, it's talking about the games, the Olympic Games. He's saying, you know, he said they did it. They just get something that just comes and goes. But you, we're going to get something that's eternal.
Yeah.
Therefore, run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. just throw punches. You know, I haven't been in many fights in my life. I did fight a few times when I was at school. School was different back then. I don't think my kids ever got in fights. That was not normal. And they didn't see fights. Where I was, Wang Tech, you'd see a fight pretty much every day. There'd be someone would be, you know, just take it behind the shelter shed and sort it out. That's how life happened.
That's how everybody works things out.
Yeah. I had a friend who started dating a girl, you know, about 15, and, you know, he was a nice guy, and she was a nice girl. But she said, my ex-boyfriend's not happy. I said, well, that's his problem. The ex-boyfriend came over to make it his problem. He's a big guy. He's about 6'4", big shoulders. My friend was big. He was a farmer, you know, like tag team. You know, like, he's my mate. He wasn't upset with me, but I'm my mate. But I'm like, anyway, had a fight, and the guy, you know, swung a few. My friend, it just punched once that I remember, and went, bang, hit the guy right in the nose, and we heard crack.
Ooh.
Guy went flying down,
that's,
blood everywhere.
That's
just one punch, I'm like, yeah, I'm with him, you know. Don't you come back. Enough of you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's broken his nose.
No shadow boxing here.
You know, they're all gone, cleaned up, and, you know. You know, and my friend didn't really get in that much trouble because he was actually just defending himself. It was like the guy came and started fighting him. And after they're all gone, my friend says, I think I'm in trouble. He looked down, they had a big lump in his in his wrist. Turned out it wasn't the nose breaking. He pushed his knuckle back halfway up his fist. He broke the bone in his hand.
I'd like to think about that.
Yeah. So the bone in his hand went up like that. So he waited after it. He said, I think I need to get this looked at.
Something's not right.
Something's not right here. That crack that we heard was his hand breaking. He hit him so hard. Anyway, guy never came back.
Good for him.
My fights. I had a couple of fights in primary school. I did a lot of the swinging at the air. I never got a crack. I never cracked the knuckles in my hand. That's because I never hit anything.
Yeah.
Lots of activity. Not much. So I, you know, when you box, it's not good enough to swing punches. If you're not going to hit something,
yeah,
you just tire yourself out. And yeah. I did not do well. All right, I was very enthusiastic, but not very effective. You don't want to be a very enthusiastic Christian, but not very effective. All right,
really got real.
This next generation has to learn how to fight.
Yeah, that's good.
You guys got to learn how to fight. You're in a fight. Okay, there is still enemies in the camp. Still enemies in your promised land, and you've got to clear them out, and you've got to learn how to fight. You've got to learn how to drive them out. And if you don't know how to fight well, and if you don't know how to look in the mirror and find out who I am and what my weapons are and how I do this, you're just going to be throwing punches everywhere or getting beaten up. You're going to be like the Israelites, trying to do it yourself, getting messed up, and being sorry and being sad and then praying. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And God said, look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. I don't look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. And look in the mirror. What's this armor?
That's interesting.
I see a helmet.
Was this always here?
Yeah, I see a breastplate. I see, what's that shield thing? And you run around. Sorry. God said, look in the mirror. What's that thing in my hand? Okay. Who's that with me?
Yeah.
who's that doing the fighting? I didn't see that out there. No, because you didn't tag team him in. You're busy trying to do this thing yourself, trying to make it all work. You know, so mirror, mirror, to me, one of the things is you got to look at, you got to see yourself as God sees you.
Yeah.
And that, see, first of all, he sees you in a fight. Being in a fight is how he sees you. It's we are in a fight in this world. So I want to first of all just say, well, what are we fighting? Because, you know, otherwise we're throwing a lot of, I don't know who we're fighting.
Well, where's the fight?
Where's the fight?
Fight anyone.
I just go fight. Ah!
Fight everyone.
And so you can fight the wrong things, all right? Ephesians chapter 6. Let's have a look at there. Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
But it's against... All right, so there are things we are not fighting against, and that's not where our struggle is, but who here puts up a hand and says, sometimes I've been guilty of getting into the fight at the natural level and thinking that's where I can win this. Fight. Oh, look, my wife, Christine, boxing gloves. Yeah, how many fights do you reckon Christine got in at school? Not as many as me.
Well, no one would have dared.
Yeah, sure. Like, come on. You know, there's a great movie called Beethoven. You remember the old Beethoven? A long time ago. Beethoven was a dog, a big dog. What was he? He was a Saint Bernard.
Saint Bernard.
Yeah, it's that big Saint Bernard. Anyway, this little kid was having trouble with bullies, and you know, he's a little scrawny little kid.
She got what I said.
Scrawny. So this scrawny kid, and he's having trouble with bullies, and they come up and they give him a hard time. They took something off him. Give it back, girl. And he's like, enough of your bullying. I'm gonna stand up against you. And he goes, you know, like this takes. Anyway, the dog comes up behind him.
Yeah.
And you know. And it is a big dog. And the kids look at the dog and like, oh. And they give him back the staff. And then the dog walks off. And the kid doesn't know the dog's been there.
Yeah.
And the kid's like. And that night, he's standing in front of the mirror posing. You know, he's like, I'm the man.
What power.
It wasn't him at all. Okay, look in the mirror. There's a big, strong, mighty warrior God who's doing the fighting behind you. It's not you.
Mm.
All right, but you got to learn how to do this. It's the So you got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you got to find out who you're fighting and who you're not fighting. You got to understand this world. You got the Word of God will show you what sort of fight you're in and how it's happening. Because if you don't understand that, then you get yourself in a mess and you try and be like, you know, well, I'll go fight this and I'll do this. And you think boldness is faith. And you think just, you know, taking presumption is faith. You think if I just do something, God will be there. That's not how God works, you know what I mean? But if you do something with a good heart and a confidence and,
yeah.
You know, and taking a step out of faith, God is with you.
Yeah.
You know, it says the friends brought their friend on the stretcher, lowered it through the roof, and Jesus is seeing their faith. God says I can work with that. There's a step there. So we've got to look. There's three areas that we're fighting against, and we'll probably carry this over to next week. So I just want you to start thinking about this. Who are the ones we're fighting against?
Mm.
All right, it's not people. God's already said that. You know, people aren't your problem. Now the people will be the manifestation of those people with the problem. When people get saved, who saves them? God saves them. You know, when I say a question like that, people are like,
is this a trick question?
Yeah, I have to jump in because everyone.
I know the answer.
I know that God, do I say God? God saves you. God saves them. Yeah, of course God saves them. We know God saves them. You know, and but God says, but they get saved because I give them the word, and the word creates faith, and that opens heart. So how can they hear the word? Well, someone's got to speak that word.
Yeah.
And someone doesn't, in order to have that word spoken, someone's got to be sent.
Yeah.
And God will send somebody to speak his words, and then people hear those words, and it creates faith, and then they get saved. But do you see, it's not, God does the saving, but through people.
Yeah.
All right? That's I understand. Good. Satan messes things up on the earth, and he does it through people. So when we say people are not our We don't fight against the people, but we do recognize that people are often a part of the fight.
Mm.
You know what I mean? People are doing the nasty things. People are saying the nasty things. People are doing the wrong things. People are creating problems.
Mm.
So the people, through their wrong behaviors, are giving access for the enemy to work. They're giving hooks for the enemy to get in. They're becoming his mouthpiece at times, becoming his hands, and they're doing terrible stuff. But ultimately, our fight is not against the things we can see, but we've got to deal with the people in front of us at times.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We've got to work with them and heal them and resist them. And Paul says, you know, we've got to discipline them. You got to, you know, do all those things with the people. So when we say we wrestle against, our wrestle is against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against, you know, principalities. It doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with the people, but we understand where our true battle is. So first of all, your fight is in the heavenly places against the devil's forces and the devil's power. And, we're fighting against him. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary. Oh, is the God's adversary. Yeah, but he's yours because you're God's. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that... You know what I mean? You got to resist.
Yeah.
Okay. Here then talks about knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. Hey, aren't we talking about the devil? No, the devil is then using circumstances and people to oppress them and harden. And you got to resist the same as your brethren around the world are having to do this.
Mm.
So the devil is a key component of our fight. We are fighting against the devil, not against people. We've got to recognize that and constantly, I've got to keep reminding myself of that at times. You know, the war that we're facing in this world, it's ultimately a spiritual battle, and we are taking authority. Not this week, but next week we're going to look in here to see what our weapons are and our means of fighting. Okay, next week we're going to say, how do we fight? What has God given us to fight? I've got to look in here and find my mode of of how it works. This week I'm just highlighting the fact that we're in a fight and the fact who we're fighting against, because some people haven't stopped to think. They say, oh, okay, of course we're fighting the devil, no surprise there. Okay, but sometimes you got to remind yourself it's not people but how that works. But that's not our only fight. All right, we have multiple fights happening. And so sometimes the weapons that we're going to use are going to be different according to different circumstances.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what sort of fight you're in, if you just treat everything as if you're fighting the devil, then you're going to use the wrong weapons and you're going to presume to attack it the wrong way. Or if you forget, you know, I'm fighting here, but it's actually a devil problem, and you're not going to use the right means. Sure. All right. So what is the other area? I just get in my head which way to do these scriptures. Let's go to Romans 8. Verse 12. So then, brethren, we're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die.
Mm.
But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is talking about this area of us called the flesh. The flesh. What is the flesh? It's sort of a blanket term that can cover a few things. You know, we have flesh and blood, and this is the flesh. I can touch it. I can feel it. It's my... But when Paul and the writers of the New Testament talk about the flesh, they go beyond just physical, but they're talking about that whole realm that is the non-God realm.
Mm.
The realm when we do things without God.
Mm.
The realm that we got ourselves into through our rebellion, through Adam's sin. We were born into this realm, and any time that we do things that is aligned with the anti-God, the un-God, the dead realm, that is the flesh.
Mm.
And it's to do with this physical body. You know, sometimes it manifests itself through the things we do and things we say and the things we're feeling. But it's also in our soul realm, the things we feel and things we're going through. And ultimately, it's actually a spiritual problem, a spiritual death that we're carrying, where we are a broken people that are anti-God. You know, Romans 8.
Your own strength.
Yeah, it's let me just.
Your own ability.
I don't want to, okay. Let's go to verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's two ways of living, according to what the Spirit says, or according to this world of the flesh. For those who are who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death.
Mm.
Mind set on the Spirit, life and peace.
Yeah.
Because the mind set...
That's good.
The mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right?
It's a pretty key one there.
Yeah, you can't. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But so it's sort of talking about these two sides.
Yeah.
The flesh. Well, hasn't Jesus dealt with the flesh? Yes, he has. Praise God. Romans 6 talks about the fact that our old self was crucified with Jesus, that our body of sin might be done away with.
Yes.
We should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus became our flesh, became our sin, died, dealt with, finished. No problems. For now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. That's us.
Mm.
Yeah, we live.
Whew.
Now, it's the same way as when God came to Joshua and said, I'm giving you this land. Was the land theirs? Yes, it was. Was God going to do all the fighting? Yes, he was. He was going to fight for them. He was going to do... And he said, but why do they have to fight? Why do they have to learn how to fight? Because he said, I've given you the land. It's your land. I've killed your debt. I've killed your flesh.
Yeah.
I've killed it. It's done. It's dealt. Yes, it's finished. It's done. And then verse 11 says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. You've got to have this. You've got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You've got to see who you are in
That's
Christ
good,
and what
yep.
God's done. And then it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust.
Mm.
In other words, you can't let that dead life have any be still activated. I thought it was dead. All right? I thought my old life was dead. It says I'm dead. I'm dead.
No longer a slave to sin.
Yeah, I'm dead. I'm no longer a slave. I'm dead. He's dead. That old man is dead. So don't let him reign. Don't let him have rulership. How can he reign if he's dead? Yeah, that's how it works. All right? It's that he's dead and you've got to keep him dead.
Yeah.
He's dead and you're not allowed. And you've got to look in the mirror and you've got to see who you are and what Christ has done. And it's a battle. So sometimes we think our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual power.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one fight.
Yeah.
That's one fight. One fight is against the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, we've got another fight. It's a fight against our flesh. All right? I thought we had victory over our flesh. Yeah, I thought we had victory over the devil.
Under our feet.
Hasn't he defeated him already? Hasn't Jesus finished the work? He's led, you know, 2 Corinthians.
When he said it is finished? Or?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph. I'll go to the other one. Colossians 2:15. They're both 2:15. No, 2:14, 2:15. That just interested me, but no one else. Okay, so Jesus, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he's taken out of the way, nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Done. You know, 1 John 3:8, you know, he's overcome.
Yeah.
We've got the victory. Devil's defeated. Amen. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. We've got it. We've got that authority. It's been given to us. My flesh has been killed. The flesh is dead. This life couldn't get any better. My flesh is dead. The devil's defeated.
Yeah.
All we have to do is sit still and just let the victories roll in. No, you, the new next generation, you've got to learn to fight. You're the next generation, you've got to learn to fight. You've got actually to push out the enemies that have come in and we've allowed to encamp around us and be established. There are things that we are there. So we fight against the flesh. We fight against the devil.
Mm.
All right? There are weapons and concepts and strategies that we must be aware of in both of those situations.
Yeah.
And know which one we're fighting. Don't use the weapons against the wrong thing. Don't try and use the wrong weapon against the wrong. I've heard it said. If someone's demonized, you can't sort of lay hands on them and you got to cast it out. You can't. We try and counsel.
There's a way to do it.
We try and counsel people who've got problems with demons and cast out problems of the flesh. Okay.
Yeah.
Try and cast out the flesh and counsel the demons. No, the flesh. There's an area where it's renewing the mind.
Yeah.
And with the devil, it's casting out. And so if you got the wrong fight, you're messing things up. And so if you don't know who you're fighting, so one of the first things is to say, who am I fighting and what am I fighting against?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know who your enemy is and clearly understand the battles you're in, they're obviously overlap a lot. Like my flesh, lives in the kingdom of darkness realm, and my dad, 1 John 3 talks about your father the devil. We've got the father God, but the father the devil. So when I'm living according to the flesh, it's connected with the devil and his kingdom and his power. Yeah. So there's overlap there, but we've got to be a little bit more focused on what we're fighting. Because if you're fighting the flesh, you can't cast it out. You've got to put that to death.
You got to use the appropriate weapon.
Yeah. So I don't think I actually got to that in Romans 8 when I was halfway through it. Verse 13, for if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Mm.
Okay, putting to death.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing that we need to do. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting wholeness. Let us, it's a process, it's something we need to do, and we've got to get rid of it and we've got to clean it. So we've got that, we've got the flesh. I'm going to finish with one other sort of...
The final. We reached the final scriptures.
Yeah, the final concepts, maybes. The final one. Because this is also talks about...
We love the final scriptures.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, we could take this to say, this is actually talking about the same thing as Ephesians 6. Because it sounds very similar. It's using battle terminology. It's using flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
And so what was Paul actually talking about here? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Okay, this is really good. I need to know this. you need to know this. This is, if I'm in a fight, Paul. This looks. There's some good stuff here.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. A divinely powerful for the destruction of
fortresses.
Fortresses. What fortresses? What are the fortresses that he's talking about here? Okay. So if you sort of and by understanding here, we understand another sort of fight that we're in. And you've got to understand, this is what I'm saying, is be aware. We're in a fight, but it's not, we don't fight the same in every fight, and we're not up against the same enemy in every fight. You cannot fight the devil the same as your flesh, and you can't fight your flesh and treat it like the devil.
Yeah.
It's got to be, you've got to know them and deal with them particularly. Who is Paul talking about here? What is his warfare? What is he doing? So a little bit of background here, because we need to know what our weapons are here. You know what? I think everyone's had enough for today.
Is this the first final?
No, this is the last final. I'm gonna wrap it up here. I just felt like I think we've got enough for people to to wrestle with.
Yeah.
We've got enough for
people. There's been a lot of good things.
Today. Yeah. Let's hold on to that, because this is stuff we're now going to have to do some background, get our head around something,
yeah,
and understand it. So that's probably not what you need to do at the end of all this. You know, some people are still wrestling with Joshua and getting into the promised land and stuff like that. And
some
and
people are like, we got to fight?
Yeah. There's a mirror.
Hopefully they know that.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, and sometimes it's like, okay, and I just felt, don't push. Let people chew on what we've got and what we've done. We're hungry for God. And so let's just quickly just summarize where we came from. The mirror is to show us who we are and what it is that we're living in. But we must come to it. What are the two things? With meekness and then with intensity. And then we must act it out. All right?
Yeah, good.
That's two of them are an approach. Third is the action. If you don't act it out, it means nothing. You know, that's what James is saying. You can look at a mirror all you like. If you don't act on it, it means nothing. You know, if you see who you are, but then go and live without taking that into your world, what's the point? Okay? But the mirror is a mirror, and it's not a portrait. It's actually a mirror showing you who you truly are in Christ. But you look with humility, and you look with intensity, and you see that, and then you take it, and you begin to live it out.
Mm.
And then we begin to show. And one of the things it shows us is that we're in a fight.
Yeah.
With this world we are in a fight where it's got the we have the victory, and yet we still have to win the victory.
Mm.
It's where Jesus says, I'll do the fighting for you, and yet I'll
do the fight. Tag team.
Yeah, you know, I will finish.
No, we can't just have the one final scripture.
No, because this is one of the summary. Joshua 13:6. It's like, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon as far as Misrephoth-maim, all the Sidonians, I will drive them out before the sons of Israel.
Mm.
Only allot it to Israel for an inheritance as I command. I'll drive them out.
Yeah.
I'll drive them out. Ah, so they never had to lift a sword again. And then there was people that God didn't drive out because of their unbelief,
yeah,
and they didn't hold on. He says, I will, and then he didn't. You know, so hang on, how does this work? Well, that's because there's that element of this is what God does, but then he partners with us through our faith to activate it and get it established. So there's I'm in a fight where God has won the battle, and he will do the fighting. You know, David rushing against Goliath says, the battle is the Lord's. He understood, but he's swinging the sling.
Yeah.
The battle is the Lord's while he's swinging the sling. Well, whose battle is this? If the battle is the Lord, I'm tag teaming, and there's a tag team where you are totally relying on God whilst you're doing something.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
And you are simply being the hand and mouthpiece of God. And that's why we, you know, and what, you know, the worst thing you do is, wow, kill the Goliath. I was pretty awesome today. No. No, that's how God works. He does it so wonderfully through us that people actually get it confused and sometimes think you're wonderful. No, that was just God. And I know the difference between leaning into me and leaning into the Spirit. And the Spirit makes me look good by the anointing and by the grace that he puts on me and the ability and the strength, the power. And then he gives that supernatural so we can face the devil. So we are in battle. Who are we in battle against? We're in battle against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's defeated, he's still prowling. And even though he's defeated, we've still got to...
He's going out kicking and screaming.
We've got to enforce that victory, all right? And if we don't enforce that victory, he still will be able to get mess up people's lives. We're fighting against our flesh. We've got to box, you know. I mean, really, that scripture about the boxing, that's more to do with the flesh than to do with the devil.
Yeah.
You know, I got to bring myself, hey, flesh, sit down. That scripture is more talking about his own fight inside, not against the devil.
Yeah.
So there's one that, you know, that boxing, that's actually him fighting.
Mm.
I got to know how to hit that flesh down. Keep down. Not just swing around and, you know, my flesh has a field day. My flesh is, hey. Sometimes the flesh is clapping and encouraging me. Keep swinging, boy. Keep swinging. This is fun.
It's a pointed.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah,
directed.
So fight. Fight against the flesh. All right. And the third one we'll share next week is fighting against the zeitgeist in the church. All right. So that's the summary. Go and look into the mirror. Start studying. Think about that. And this was particularly for the Josh and the Jays.
Mm.
In each generation, we've got to learn to fight.
Yes.
Each generation, there's still stuff in this world and in the church and in the Christianity we've got to push out and we've got to deal with. And you guys have got to learn how to fight. All right? Josh, do you want to pray and
speak for him? Father God, we look into the mirror. We see the reflection, not of what we can do or what we've done, but we choose to look into the mirror to what you say. And Lord, you said that the battle is yours.
Yeah.
And we're a part of that tag team. But we will not fight what battle is yours, and because it is yours, Father God. So we just pray that everyone that has been here today or will hear this, Father, that they tag team with you and that they tag your hand, because the battle is yours and you will win it. You will drive the enemy out. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, thank you. Oh, Teresa's been watching, so great to have Teresa with us.
We love everyone that's regular is always here every week. Really awesome. I don't know if we got my dates wrong.
Oh, we're not here next Friday.
Yes. I thought I'll say that.
Don't come here looking for us next Friday. Josh, Jay, and I are at a conference up in Sydney, a Bethel conference. So we're looking for that. Forward to that. That's going to, the three young lads are going to go up together. And the next generation all going together. And so it'll be in 2 weeks' time. So you'll get the double dose. You'll get us coming back full.
Yes, I'm excited to come back.
And then we'll capture what God has said. And then we'll start looking at all the things that God has given to us in order to do this fighting and how to fight and the process of fighting, the weapons of fighting, all those things we'll talk about in 2 weeks' time.
So that's 2 weeks. So yeah. Sandy, do not turn up here next Friday morning. We will not be here.
All right. Well, we're gonna leave you. We're doing our new way of exiting now. I'm just going to put it back on the pre-service thing for a few minutes so that people, if you want to comment, if anything like that, we'll still be here. But then in about 3 or 4 minutes, we'll actually close the thing. But that, we realize that sometimes people still have got comments and things to say.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do a hard closure. We'll run it through our pre-service thing. If you've got any comments, do that. And we can comment back. We'll still be here watching. Bless you.
Be blessed, everyone.